course, MG Money here on a lovely Tuesday evening, right in the heart of Kahului Town at Maui Comics and Collectibles, ladies and gentlemen. So glad to be with you. And yes, it's an evening, a summer, hot summer evening.
Why are you going to play music that makes me feel hot?
Hot summer evening.
There's no AC in this piece.
Oh, I know. There. Well, listen, dying. I don't know what's going on, but...
It's moving along.
You should definitely
the process
get,
is moving. They got to order a whole new unit.
Make a complaint to management.
It's already been complained about. Don't worry about it. I've complained.
All right, great. Awesome. That's so good.
Thanks for thinking of that, by the way.
Yeah, Jeff. No problem. That's what I'm here for.
I know what the next step was.
All right. Just make the complaint and then never follow up. Yeah.
Right. I'm on it.
Okay, good. Thank you. Anyway, I don't know where everybody's at.
It's, we already started.
I can hear you.
No,
everybody's here.
Are we even?
We can hear you.
None of our mics are on.
Yeah, you gotta.
Everybody's mics are on.
Closer.
No one can hear anybody.
Everybody's got brand new mics, by the way.
These are new mics.
You gotta get right on it. You have to.
Don't. But she wants to drop.
Oh, I know. She's all the way up. This is what I'm saying.
Where's all the other mics?
They're all gone. These are all the mics. What's that?
Oh,
lapel mics don't sound good. Anyway, we might as well get started and introduce some peeps. So I'm going to do something a little different. Joining me to my left,
he is
the Cinnamon Scallop, the Cinema Scholar. He's better known as Captain Five Stars. Ladies and gentlemen, it's A-Ron.
Drop those mad bars, yo.
Have I ever told you how much I do not like hip-hop music?
You're a racist.
I am.
Jinx, you owe me a racist joke.
Also, a racist joke? Boy,
no,
do I.
No, not a racist joke. Shut not up. Also joining us this evening, he is the gaming guru. He is our man in black. Ladies and gentlemen, put up for Matt.
Skip, huh?
Also joining us this evening.
Oh.
He is our Dark Knight.
When do I get the
he is also,
man?
Where's my intro music?
He is also
it's
the hip-hop. Funkiest, freshest.
This is because you love hip hops.
He is now. He's gone from
hippie hops.
I really can't stand this.
You love
at
the hippie hops.
It's terrible, right?
He's gone. Down to south. He's went. He went southbound in Lucktown. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up.
I hope whoever owns this music sues us. So we never use music again.
Yo, damn it!
It's for the Grove.
Hey,
for the Grove.
Are you guys
for the Grove?
Are you guys the Lucktown punks? Because that's what G-Money just called you.
I would sue you guys if you guys used my music, for sure.
Oh, would you?
Even if I gave it to you.
Oh, bam, good. Bam, wow.
Bam. I'd be like, here, G-Money, here's some of our music. If you ever use it, I'm going to sue you.
Also joining us this evening, she is our mistress of the macabre.
Yeah!
She
is.
Woo! Even Francine would agree, there's only one mistress of the macabre, sir.
Well, she's our mistress of the macabre. That's why I called her that. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Francine Walraven.
Yay!
Hi.
Yay, Franny.
Franny in the
house. Yay!
Also joining us tonight, he is the chairman of the Comic Book Board.
He really
he
did
is
skip you.
Danny!
He is.
Oh, I went to the bathroom.
Why do you guys keep bringing it up? Now he has to introduce Todd.
I know. He is the chairman of the Comic Book Board. He is the godfather of the comic books. He's also the sinister minister of Maui Comic Con. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, his feet don't dance.
It was so much better when
and
I had control
tell him
of the board.
Yeah, put your hands together for the very freaky, the very deaky, and incredibly leaky Dr. Daddy Leaks in the house.
You know,
you might have to go to the doctor for that.
You know that Wham song, Careless Whisper, where he's like aching something, feet ain't got no rhythm.
He ain't got no rhythm?
Yeah, that's song's about me.
All right, well, also, and finally, joining
that's
us
specific.
This evening.
I thought his knees ached.
He is.
His knees?
Yeah, his knees. Whenever he
the
went to the bathroom.
The comic book artist extraordinaire.
His knees? His knees.
He is also
You know, like elbows, but on your legs?
Hey.
Gotcha.
He is also the creator of the Kikuyu Project.
Oh, you're
he
not going to introduce
also,
Kai and Swan first?
No. He is also the
You're not
going to
introduce that guy walking
Disco,
past the store right now?
Disco Thunder Groovebone. And yes, he is the man who is completely Hawaiian salted. And,
really unnecessary.
I don't think it gets more mana than this guy. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the man who likes to utu bang bang all the time. Todd Bernardi's in the house.
I can't tell if we're a radio show now or if we're still a podcast or not.
Hey, we're a little bit of both. It's
no, we're
not. That's what we do. We do a little
no, we're
ball.
Not.
Yes, we are.
Does that
podcast.
Music?
Shut your face.
None of that music even has anything to do with what our show
None
is.
None of us.
He does. That's he understands.
This podcast is basically G-Money's audition to get back on radio. He's like begging radio to take him back. He's no, like, please.
Yeah, trust me. Much. Trust me. That's not the case.
Remember when we used a podcast without having to fall on gimmicks?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
I love the gimmicks. It's pathetic. My thing. Shut up. It's not pathetic. You're pathetic.
That's why, our show has gone downhill ever since.
Yeah, is that what that is?
Yes.
Great. Oh, well. There you go. Oh, jeez. Here we go with this. All right. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wow. Really?
Before we get started.
He's a Republican.
Yeah, but
if there's a native to be oppressed, he's on it.
No.
He should at least act like he cares like Leonardo DiCaprio does.
I should be his...
He's a good actor.
She's a great actor.
He's a great actor.
I'm not as good as actor as Leo is. Before we get started, we do have to check in with the man who is the man...
The greatest actor.
Who... joins us every single Wednesday for New Comic Book Wednesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, Leonardo DiCaprio is here for the comic book list.
It is time to check in with Dr. Freaky Daddy Leaky. Maui Comics and Collectibles is where you gotta go, brah, for all of your comic book
needs. Now you sound like a radio DJ.
Oh, I do? Okay.
Come on down to the kind shop.
He just moved here.
Yeah, that's what I did. So let's find out what's new this week in the world of the comic books.
Oh, Daddy Leaks, is that a rocket in your pocket? Never mind what's coming out this week in the world of the comic books.
That was a recent one.
That was a good one.
I've heard that one.
I still like last week's one. That was
I didn't have time
ever.
To come up with something new.
Oh,
sorry.
That was so good. Last week was amazing.
Avengers.
Well, next time, don't be late.
Number 22.
I've had some trials and tribulations of late this month.
Batman, Last Night on Earth, number 203.
Last Night on Earth.
That's the one where he has the Joker's head in a lantern for some reason.
Oh, that one. Oh, okay.
Did you read that first book?
I did not.
It's 60s weird.
Does he have Joker's head in a lantern because he's got, like, Green Lantern?
They don't explain that.
Joker?
I don't think they explain that right away in the first one. Oh, but you do get a little bit of setup for it.
How long is this? How
it's
long
because
is the run?
Joker's it's part of the issue, Manson family.
Three issue series.
Gotcha.
Batman Who Laughs, number 7 of 7. Panther, number 14.
I know that one's good.
Conan the Barbarian, number 8.
Hey, listen, before you move on, I know this is completely, it's not off topic, but...
Conan the Barbarian, is that where he's an elephant?
Yeah, that's
the
one.
It is.
Isn't it this week was released Batman Hush, the animated movie? Did anybody get to see that?
Digital.
Oh, digital only? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't play around with digital.
Digital means with fingers.
Thank you.
Digital means you can look at it, but you can't smell it.
Oh, gross.
Death's Head, number 104.
You got to put your finger in it.
Shut up,
stop,
Todd.
You're going to be even
stop
worse.
Talking.
Fantastic Four, number 12. Nobody can hear you. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, number 9. Okay, here's an interesting one for you.
When does the J.J. Abrams Sons book come out?
Goon, not yet. Goon, number 5. It's interesting because Goon number 4 is delayed and 5 shipped in its place.
So 5's coming first?
And so
they sent the wrong one to the printer.
Yeah.
That happened with Spawn.
But the other...
They skipped 2 issues.
No, I remember that.
Thing is, these are all standalone stories. So, like Eric Powell said, there's no spoilers.
Oh, there's no mix up.
Well, what's the cool connection between the
Why
Goon
not just
and,
change the
Maui?
Number then?
I don't know. What are you getting at, G? You're kind of beating around some kind of bush.
I'm trying to get you
why
to
don't
say
you
it.
Say, why don't you say it in that beautiful radio voice of yours?
This year at the Maui Comic Con in October, Eric Powell, the creator of the Goon, will be here in Maui for the Maui Comic Con.
And the president, CEO, chief Fuhrer of Albatross Funny Books, his comic publishing company, who puts out other great titles
he's gonna
such
be there
as
too?
Grumble, and he's the same guy.
Oh.
This is one man.
Word.
Some might argue
it's like
a
double
legend.
Billing, yes. But it's the same guy.
Yes, he's large and in charge.
Do you have
charge.
To pay him twice?
No, he pays us twice.
I wish.
I don't think when you're on that level, you pay to be there.
Oh, no. But we're happy to have him. Super excited to meet him.
Awesome.
Green Lantern, annual number 1.
Green Lantern.
Why do you have to go all country on it?
Green Lantern.
Because they're the only people that use lantern.
No, they're basically like space hillbillies.
No. Everybody knows Batman uses
Batman uses
too.
A lantern now.
It's got Joker's head in it.
Heavy Metal, number 294.
Oh, nice.
Yes,
heaviest. It's probably the heavy right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Is it made out of lead?
No.
Killers, number 1 of 5. Oh. Justice League Dark, annual
number 1.
That's
the comic book about those guys that did Mr. Brightside.
No, it's not.
Oh.
Marvel.
Oh, interesting. Now I actually want to read it.
No, it's not. Oh. Marvel.
Now I don't want to see it because it's been overplayed.
Marvel Comics Presents, number 7.
What is it presenting?
Wolverine's daughter.
The same thing I present at Maui Comic Con in the bathroom.
It's what? Presenting Black Widow's
monstrous number 24.
Don't Which, say if that. You're in Oahu, Black you Widow's monstrous 24.
Yeah, Marjorie Liu, August 10th is going to be on Oahu signing.
I'm really bummed. I'm not going to be able to go.
Yeah,
I saw those posts come up, and I'm like, why do I know that name?
And it doesn't help because this is a picture of her. It's not a picture of the book or anything like that.
So her picture's on the back of the book.
Yeah, but,
still.
Yeah. Usually they would put the book up as something they promote.
I never looked
Nobody
at the back of the book.
Nobody puts up a picture of Frank Miller anymore.
I read to the last
put a
page
picture of the Dark Knight Returns.
It
is true. When Todd promotes the Kikui Project, he puts a picture up of himself.
Or Nadia.
I do. Or Nadia, that's true.
It's all airbrushed. I've got fake abs.
Powers of X, number one of six.
Yes!
Yes, finally.
Can't wait.
Spawn 299.
So good.
Yes.
Is he even there yet?
Has House of X been good?
Yes.
You read House of X 1? Yes.
So good.
Can you give us a quick synopsis?
Synopsis,
please.
A Jesse synopsis.
It's very similar to House of M, but it's Xavier.
Thing that kind of gave me that clue is you look at the map of the island and you're like, House of X. Yeah, House of M. Why didn't I make that connection when it was coming out, you know?
I don't know. I didn't either. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, this is going to be so good.
Yeah, it looks
good. So is it James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender?
Or? Yeah, sure.
Totally.
Okay. Those are the only guys who have ever been those characters.
Yeah.
Just checking.
And that weird CGI babyface Picard.
Yeah. Which now makes no sense.
Red Hood Outlaw Annual number 3.
Cool.
Rick and Morty number 52.
Ooh.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch number 405.
Ooh.
Samurai Jack Lost Worlds number 3.
Would wearing any kind of hood in 2019 be considered not
Not a kosher? Red hood.
He doesn't even wear a hood.
It's a
helmet.
It's a helmet.
Fair enough.
Red Hood is a moniker, not the actual.
I'm just saying. I'm just wondering.
Technically, the Red Hood before anything else wasn't a hood then either.
Are you asking because you want to wear your hood again?
His head looked like a giant pill.
It looked like a pill with a collar. Like a giant. Like
There never really was a Red Hood.
Secret.
Fair enough.
Warps, Iron Hammer Annual number 1.
Secret Warps?
It's like
that's
a mashup
a twisted,
book. They mash up two characters. Okay. This is Iron
when
Hammer.
When they folded the Marvel Universe together, certain characters got mixed together.
You should pay attention.
They got all stuck together and stuff.
So which character is this?
Iron Hammer.
Iron Man.
Todd, he's updating his OnlyFans account.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Will you guys stay on target, please?
Tangle and Whisper, number 1.
Tango and Whisper?
Will you tell him to do...
Spawn, issue 299, almost at that milestone, issue 300, that Todd is so excited about.
I knew he'd
so
get
excited.
There anyway.
So excited.
I'm not really impressed.
When he gets to issue 1,000, then we'll talk. Yeah. We're not going to be here anymore by then, but then we'll talk.
Well, the movie's not going to happen now, right?
What if he just did, like, he just skipped to 1,000 and then said, well, now I'm obligated to get there?
Yeah.
Send the wrong issue to the printer.
There you go.
Or maybe he could just do a bunch of, like, 3-page issues and get there quicker.
There you go. Oh, awesome. I'd be down for that.
That's comics the Marvel.
Or if he treated it like Marvel 2099, where it's just like, this is the Spawn of whatever year this would be now.
Spawn 2099.
Where there's hoverboards and cars that fly and stuff.
Hey!
Stay on target.
Sure. Star Wars, Age of the Republic special number 1. Why are you yelling?
Stay on target.
Great timing.
Stay on target.
Thank you.
Almost like you knew that, Greg. Good job.
Yeah.
Thanos, number 4 of 6.
Anus. Stay on target.
I said Thanos.
Oh, that's different.
Thanos because they anus.
That's right.
Thanos because
I'm on a different target.
That's the name of this pod, by the way.
That is. Good.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ongoing issue 96.
Nice.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Urban Legends number 15.
Ooh.
Uncle
cool.
Scrooge number 47. It's a big fun book. Venom Annual number 1. And a
lot of annuals.
Walking Dead number 193, the second printing.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, that is your comic book list where you can get new comics here at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Where?
Every single Wednesday at the Queen.
At Game Over Comics.
Center at Game Over Comics.
Yeah, well, how come we don't talk about Filiberto and Raul or
Raul?
Something?
Raul, that's
like,
good.
Like
that's
why, good. Why aren't we always getting those guys' names wrong?
Yeah, you can check out Rosencast.
You never ever bring up Herbert and Niles.
That's right. You can check out Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
It's
Niles Over Comics.
And Frazier.
It's Chris and Aaron, guys. Now they don't know which one's real.
Axel and Slash.
Yeah, that's good too.
By the way, Aaron, I just heard from Game Over Comics, is starting a brand new band.
It's Benson and Hedges.
Whoa, it's that's good.
Nice.
It's Virginia and Slim.
Virginia and Slims.
Menthol.
What kind of band?
I think they're playing polka music. What do you think?
I don't know.
Well, actually, I take that back.
Is it polka music?
I just realized.
Can it be polka music?
He plays music in my neck of the woods.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
At a retirement home?
Reggae.
No, not.
Oh man.
This one's right now, you know how Alika feels.
I need you to explain that one.
Wait, he's playing punk music, right?
Yeah, there's fans.
I don't think Alika likes punk music.
It's hot as hell.
I like punk music.
He's playing punk music the way that he opened a comic book shop. He's moving in on your guys' territory.
Oh.
Got it.
I don't really get it. Go ahead. Move on.
Got it. All right. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen.
I feel stupid right now, so we need to
move on. Come and check. Will you not do that?
You're the one who listens to talk.
I know. Yeah.
You can visit Molly Comics and Collectibles right here at the Queen Kamana Center. Pick up a comic or two. Start a subscription. Support local comics. Support local business. And support Alika
Support
Secchi.
Game Over Comics. Oh, yeah. Game Over Comics, too.
Support Game Over Comics. They're good guys.
They're nice guys.
Chris and Aaron, great guys. I said it twice, so you know that's the real one.
Anyway.
I thought it was Filiberto and Raul.
Is that what you're missing?
Benson and Hedges is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm
it's official. It's official.
Dude, it's totally Herman and Dave.
Better than
Black and Miles?
Filiberto's not very good, dude.
Filiberto's not even a real name.
You can come up with an example of an actual Filiberto.
I will shut up.
Filiberto.
There's a restaurant.
That's my actually
that's Bernalillo, New Mexico. A restaurant.
I can tell you one instance of Filiberto.
Oh, good Lord.
It was on Rocco's Modern Life when Filibert was a Spanish racist version of himself. Filiberto.
So is it true that Rocco's Modern Life is actually coming to Netflix?
Yep.
Sounds horrible.
Why wouldn't it?
All over Netflix.
Horrible. Netflix wants
Speaking
all
of horrible
things.
News, did you hear that Stallone's trying to get Rocky 7 going
yes,
on?
Yes, I did.
And a prequel TV series.
It's going to be awesome.
I hope
somehow they work in the death of Batman's parents.
I feel bad because it's probably just he's getting older and he knows he doesn't have a lot left for
Maybe
him.
Maybe he forgot that he finished the series.
No, I think what
and
it
he's
is
like,
is
I make
like he just doesn't learn to leave well enough alone. Like he did Rocky 5 to be the end, and that was terrible. So he fixed that with Rocky Balboa, and that was fine.
That was great. Could have left that alone.
Well, it was great right there. Don't
the thing is, Rocky 5 is amazing, and that's probably the plot of his life right now.
It's really not because I just watched it 2 days ago, and it's
I love
not.
That movie.
It's awful.
It's
great.
It's got good stuff in it, but it's...
But that's what he's going through right now. He has a poly that wasted his fortune on something, like a robot.
The best thing in Rocky V is the hip-hop soundtrack.
Like a Polynesian?
Huh, Gannon? Right?
When did he get a Polynesian?
No.
No? You sure?
No. The best thing in Rocky V is when his son snaps and says the name of the theme song that runs throughout the movie out loud to his bullies.
Go for it!
Yeah. He might as well have said, awesome. I have the eye of the tiger, guys! We're gonna fight now! He might as well have done that.
Tommy the Machine Gun.
And I mean, we really shouldn't speak ill of the dead, but we're talking about his performance in that moment.
It's true.
Yeah.
Was he played by
How weird that he's the one that's dead out of that whole movie.
Yeah. Wait, no.
Tally Shire's dead too, I guess.
No, she's not dead. She's alive.
Is she alive?
She's alive.
Oh, wait. Adrian's dead. Sorry.
Adrian's dead. Gosh, you're horrible. You know who is dead, though? Tommy Morrison.
He got AIDS.
Yes, he did. I would go see another Rocky.
Great, let's bring that up. That's fun.
He did get AIDS, though. He didn't watch his own movie where it was a cautionary tale about what happens to you when you're a boxer and you become
Actually,
famous.
Actually, he's not kidding because I saw the doc on his life. His girlfriend...
He literally learned nothing from the movie he was in.
His girlfriend is still convinced that he did not die of AIDS. It's crazy.
He died of a car accident.
It's the craziest story. You'll just look it up. It's insane. Anyway.
Yeah, we talk about it every 6 months. I know about it.
No. Do we? Yeah. Do we talk about Tommy Morrison every
No,
months?
We don't. We really don't.
Every time we talk about Rocky, we talk about Tommy Morrison.
Do
go
we?
Go to the tape.
We'll go
I've
to
heard
the tape.
This story 6 times.
All right, everybody, go to the tape.
Go to the tape.
Yeah, go to the look.
And this is where G will throw in an edit where he goes and finds the one time he brought it up back when the store was on Derry Road.
It's been 4 times since 2015.
Never bring it up.
I feel like for you it feels like that. I don't remember him ever saying
No. Oh, we've talked no. about it. We've talked about it.
No one can make
That's
Rocky.
How I know about it.
Wow.
I really like Rocky, though. All
right, we get it.
Nope.
And, all right. And, let's all right. talk. Let's
How about
talk,
another Expendables?
I think we should go, can I make we should go to A-Ron. Let's go to A-Ron.
Sweet.
All right, well, we came out at Hard Media. Go.
So Tommy Morrison.
Wait.
He was in you Philadelphia.
Know we're not okay, we're talking about two different people, not Tamora Morrison, not that guy. That guy didn't die from AIDS.
Man, he was great in Speed 2.
No,
he was great in Speed 2. Thank you, A-Ron.
Tamora Morrison.
He was the real
Speed
savior.
Two.
Yes, he yeah. is. He's in Speed 2.
He was
two.
The
hell. He was Jango Fett in Speed 2.
He's awesome in Speed 2.
Man, I don't remember anything about the awesome. Movie except for that part where
he was like, look at me.
Willem Dafoe's putting leeches on his wiener. That's the only thing I remember about that movie.
Nice.
Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really happens.
He's putting leeches on his wiener.
It wasn't on his wiener. It was in a bathtub. They probably swam down to his wiener, but he didn't technically put them on.
Swam down to his wiener, dude. Yeah. I take it back. That's the name of the pod.
Right, let's get back to Tamora Morrison. Yeah. Getting so
Willem Dafoe's leech up wiener. So,
all right, listen. Everybody shut up. Let's get back on track here.
No, let's talk about leeches.
Before we get started anything.
What do you think about leeches, A-Ron?
Don't tell. Don't
do you like them on your wiener?
He's giving them all.
What about, I like how what you about on your famous?
Yeah. I didn't know how to explain it. Tingly? Feels
all
nice?
All right, everybody.
It's not that sensation at all. I feel like you've never met a leech before.
Yeah, he has. And it's
been
named
must
Tina.
Must have been an earthworm then.
It gives them the Peter tingles.
Yeah, it surely does. All right.
No, that's the frog.
Hey, Todd. Shut up. All right, here we go. Now, back on target. There was something that you all did that I did not do.
Did you watch a lot of Star Wars over the weekend or something?
No, not at all.
He thinks he sounds cool.
I do.
Oh, is it?
I do sound pretty cool.
You know, Porkins died, right?
Because the guy that said that at Star Wars wasn't cool.
Yes, he was. He was very cool.
His name is Porkins.
Hey.
The one fat guy in Star Wars' name is Porkins.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I mean, other than Java.
Do you assume that I identify with the fat guy in Star Wars?
I didn't
Wars?
Say that wow. at all. You can go back wow, to tape for that. I'm literally just saying the one fat guy in Star Wars that's not Java is his name Porkins. Porkins.
Very cool.
Hey, wait. Why are we still on this music?
Because you won't shut up,
he's
Todd.
He's auditioning for the radio. Format already said this.
He did.
He thinks
anyway,
he's running a radio show count? Now.
All right. Listen, everybody.
Does Dex count as being overweight?
No.
Dex. Dexter Jester. I forgot about him.
I'm an old saber guard.
Nah, he's just big boned.
Gotcha.
All right, let's get back to the point. This weekend, everybody had a chance to see, with the exception of me and I think Format, Once Upon a
you
Time.
You didn't go? You didn't go? Really?
Did you not read the chat,
bro? Like
I was, didn't go. You guys act like I pay attention half the time.
Yeah, I didn't
need There's a lot of times where I'm just like Francine and I check out.
So, anyway, I didn't make it to the Thursday.
I'm going
to
tell you, I'm going to spoiler, they all die at the end.
The Thursday premiere, I did not attend, but everyone else at this table
Stay
did.
On target.
So, Quentin Tarantino's ninth film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, hit theaters and hit big. Yeah, this is the ninth movie. And
is this a good one though?
This is counting Death Proof, right?
No.
Death Proof is not counted
not
in
counted.
His ninth film.
It's
not Why
counted.
Not?
It's his tenth
because
film.
Death Proof and Planet Terror was a.
Planet Terror isn't counted either?
That's Robert Rodriguez.
But Death Proof was released as its own film at one point.
Yeah, you do count Death Proof.
He has to count Death Proof. It's a full-length movie on its own.
Double check that.
What about Empire Strikes Back?
No, it doesn't.
Do we count that?
No, we don't.
He considers Kill Bill 1 and 2 together. And then he always counts Death
Okay,
Proof.
So we're counting Kill Bill as one movie.
Okay.
Right.
And Death Proof as another movie. Okay. That's just two. So does that still bring us to nine?
Yeah.
I didn't actually do the math.
Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction.
Wait, are we counting?
Jackie Brown.
He's only counting from directed, right?
Yeah.
Right. So we're not counting National Born Killers, True Romance,
none
of that.
Just directing.
Just directed films.
There's a lot of numbers, and I'm not Asian enough to.
Reservoir Dogs.
True Romance is such a Quentin Tarantino movie.
It's Pulp Fiction. It's Jackie Brown. After Jackie Brown was his fourth film, which was. No, that doesn't count. That was just a. That
That's one quarter of a movie.
What about the doggies?
Was it Kill Bill?
That's not the doggies.
So Kill Bill.
Kill Bill is after Jackie Brown.
Kill Bill. Kill Bill Volume 2.
No, that's one
movie. That's one
movie
though, right? So that's four. And then we had after Kill Bill, we had
Avengers Endgame,
Inglorious Bastards, which
Glorious
is number
Bastards,
five.
And there was
Hateful Eight.
Django. Then Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight. That's seven. Guess Death Proof does count then. So that's eight. And
gotta
then
be.
This is nine.
Yeah. Gotta be.
Okay, that didn't count.
Death Proof has to be.
Okay, we'll double check on that.
Because even though it's part of the whole grindhouse thing, it is in and of itself a fully movie by itself.
Yeah.
What about the one with the vampires and Selma Hayek's got a?
He only wrote that.
Robert Rodriguez directed it.
So from Dusk Till
Dawn.
To
be fair, he shouldn't have directed that one anyway. That one was had Robert Rodriguez's style written all over it.
Agreed.
Why? Because they talked about the different types of vagina in it.
Hey, Todd.
Quentin Tarantino wrote that, though.
Yeah, he did.
But you needed a stylized eye for a movie like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Francine, speaking of stylized eyes.
Speaking of which, I have her right here in my arm, thanks to Francine.
Who?
Santanica Pandemonium.
Wow.
It's not finished yet, though, but.
I can't wait to see
that's
it.
That's dope.
One of these days.
One of these days.
Well, Francine, you went to the movies.
I did, by my lonesome.
Did you?
Yeah, so all by myself.
Okay.
She gave me the popcorn she couldn't finish.
Wow. Well, Francine, you're a fan. Are you a fan of the Tarantino?
Yeah, I like Quentin Tarantino.
Okay. You watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Sure did.
What did you think, my dear?
I thought it was this year's feel-good movie.
Oh, okay. Interesting take. What was so good about it? What did you enjoy about it?
I didn't say it was good. I said it was a feel-good movie.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't like feeling good. That's bad.
Okay, got it. What did you like? What didn't you like? She liked that
there wasn't enough murder, and she disliked that there wasn't enough murder.
Can we just say right now, spoilers for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We can't talk about this movie without spoilers. So.
That's fine. I mean, I didn't get to see it, so I don't care. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shoot. Are we going to... Because this is a pretty
good... No, that's cool. Don't worry about it. It's all good. I understand. I understand why I come here. It's fine.
Well, I thought it was it was really kind of sentimental and sweet, like the relationship between the two guys. The two main characters, and in the end, when you're kind of waiting for the big reveal, which you know everyone's waiting for, the Manson murders of Sharon Tate and the Folger lady, then it's like society gets to strike back and they get a taste of their own medicine. So you know the alternative history, I guess.
He's done that before.
Yeah, but yeah. I think it, I don't know, I didn't care. I felt like I wasted a few hours. No offense, but I appreciate that you got us tickets to go, but it was not what I expected. It didn't feel like a Quentin Tarantino movie to me.
From my understanding, like I said, I was reading people's reviews on it, and they were saying this felt like a love letter to Hollywood. I guess in some respects. I don't know if that's true or not.
No, in his own interviews, he said that. I mean, that's very fair.
Okay.
That's very fair.
Gotcha.
But not just to the establishment of Hollywood, but to this town of Hollywood.
The romanticized idea.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
No, like the real
and Hollywood. But where it conflicts with the reality of it.
He's
very nostalgic for a very certain Hollywood when he was, you know, creating the backdrop to this movie.
Sure.
And I think that the Manson murders were kind of, they were... the catalyst to the times changing, I think, socially. It changed America in a lot of ways.
So was the Manson murders an actual backdrop to the film, or was it like this side story?
Without spoiling anything, I'm sorry, I don't mean to step up, but without spoiling it, he does what Inglourious Basterds does.
Okay. Yeah,
that's the best way I can...
I know what you mean. I got it.
Yeah.
He carves a swastika on his...
Let's say where you expect the story to zig, it's going to zag.
Okay. Oh. That's Quentin's way.
Well, you expect the story to zig, it's going to zig Kyle.
Well, thanks, Todd, for your riveting commentary.
Oh, man. I appreciated that, Todd. They might not have, but I appreciate it.
I'm saying no. I'm here for
you. It's just a little uncomfortable that the one white guy at the table made that joke.
I'm not white. I'm not the only white guy.
I'm like
A-Rod's here.
I'm white, too.
Well, I'm convinced Greg's white, but he keeps telling us.
Your last name is Gilmore.
I understand that, but I'm more Portuguese than anything else.
So, Alika, sir, Francine, if you wanted to add anything extra, let me know, and we can round back to you.
Yeah, I wanted to add that you
rocking.
You can suck it.
Thanks.
Hey,
I think this movie
I'm glad you took the time to do that.
That seemed a little...
Wait, before you go to Alika, I want to say something, too.
Yes.
You can suck it.
Thanks.
Anybody else want to touch it? Yeah, go ahead.
Can I tell him to suck it too?
You just did.
Yeah. Let's all tell him. But not at the same time.
You guys are trying to get revenge on
Todd. Take a moment.
I told you all to suck it.
Todd, you got something to say to G? Maybe suck it?
Hey, Greg.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah. All right, too late, Todd. Alika, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
You suck it.
Wait. I just want to elaborate on this. What is he sucking?
It.
Okay. Pennywise. Everybody, shut up.
Everybody knows.
Oh,
Alika.
I thought it was Cousin It.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What did you think?
Stallone telling you to suck it.
So when I got out of the movie theater, I felt like I just got like dropped off in the middle of nowhere. I was just like kind of like walking around in a daze because you're trying to figure out what the purpose of watching that movie was.
Okay.
Because, you know, so like to preface that, and I said this before the movie, I was like scared because Quentin Tarantino has a tendency to glorify violence and to make things seem attractive that might not be, you know, that might, you know, be bad or whatever.
Sure.
And so I was like, oh, he's going to show the Manson murders and it's going to revive a whole new helter skelter white zombie bullshit, you know,
You know what I mean?
I was like, this is bad for society. And then he subverted that expectation, of course.
He subverted it.
But, and so it's just like, it's more thinking than I'm used to doing about a Quentin Tarantino movie. When I go in there, the impact is easy to define. It's like, you know, a fist upside the head. It's like Kill Bill 1 and 2. It's like Django Unchained. When I left the theater at Django Unchained, I knew for certain that was my new favorite movie. After watching this movie, I knew I enjoyed watching what I had seen. I knew that I appreciated the craftsmanship of it. But I was like, what is... You guys were talking to me after it. I was like very confused. I was like, what am I... What's going on here? And the longer I've had time to, you know, handle it, it's definitely not in the top five of Quentin Tarantino movies for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like a lot of things about it now that I've had time with it. Because he does play with timelines. And he, you know... In all of his movies, it's not the real world. It's definitely the Tarantinoverse.
It's a fan fiction version of what happened.
And sure. But then with this movie, you start to realize for the 10th movie something crazy is going to happen, because this is actually his connected universe. This is the Tarantinoverse, and all of this is the same timeline. Like the timeline where the Inglourious Basterds kill Hitler is the same timeline where Sharon Tate doesn't die. And Cliff and Rick are buddies, and they kill the Manson clan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like beat up Bruce Lee. That sucks.
But
that's one thing I will add. And you know, I mean,
Rick does the ad for Red Apple Cigarettes at the end of the movie, which I thought was really interesting because Red Apple Cigarettes it's like the Kahuna
Burger. It's in Tarantino's,
It's a Tarantino verse kind of thing. So
there is a post credit scene where Jules comes out and he's like, I just want to let you guys know we're putting together a team. And then that sets up the 10th Quentin Tarantino film.
They're Tarantino-gers.
It's the Avengers version of the Tarantino-gers.
Okay, now I know you're lying. So you weren't impressed.
What if that's why you didn't tell us that the 10th
movie? I was impressed. I like you can see the amount of massive amounts of effort that went into this, but something about the story, like so when you get to the end, and it's a very long movie, for what the end is, I mean it succeeded in giving you those feels. Like you have Sharon Tate being bubbly, and you know, in your eyes the first time you're seeing this movie, and I'm sorry again for the spoilers, but she, you know, essentially you're watching this movie like she's a lamb going to the slaughter,
right?
And so it's this pre horror that you're feeling for her the whole time, and
stars in her eyes,
and once in a while he does stray to this like camera angle to let you know it's like, you know, a little mind trippy, and then you're like, oh, she's so gonna get it at the end of this movie. I don't want to watch this anymore. It's like you're really anticipating it,
right?
And it doesn't happen, and you're just like, it really is a shock.
Well, what's really fun is right before the Manson kids go on there, they have that scene in the car where they're talking about how society or Hollywood is feeding everybody violence, and wouldn't it be great to do the pigs in, like,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
give them a taste of their own medicine. They
raised
us.
To give them
us,
the violence they raised us on.
Exactly. And I think that's fascinating, pretty cool, because that's what Quentin Tarantino is so known for, is for violent movies.
I guess, Gannon, what I want to know is, does it work?
Are you asking for my take on
it
now?
Yeah. Does it? I mean, going to you, does this work?
Yeah.
Does it work? Yes and no. I mean, overall, there was a while where I, like, the same thing with League, I just could not draw a bead on what this movie was. There was a while where it literally, I just kind of felt like Tarantino was just riffing it through the whole thing.
Wow.
Like, he had a general idea.
It was
but
beautiful.
Not...
If that's what it was, it was beautiful.
Yeah. I didn't feel like it was improvised at all. I felt like that.
No, I'm not saying improvised. But... I'm saying when he wrote it, he probably didn't have a very clear, defined idea of where he was going. And the only reason I'm saying that is if you compare this to The Hateful Eight, Hateful Eight is a very tightly wound script.
Yes, very good. Yeah, it is.
I felt like you don't feel like you were wound up during like the whole scene.
You're not hearing what I'm saying. When you watch Hateful Eight, there isn't a wasted moment in that movie. Everything builds to the next thing. Now, granted, it's a different kind of story, obviously. Yeah. But in this one, it's like he really lets things breathe. Like,
well, that's for the atmospheres.
I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying that that's the impression I got.
I'm not saying you are.
I know, but you're getting fussy with me, and I'm not liking it.
I'm trying to get fussy with you.
It's not your turn anyway. Shush.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to...
Thank you, Gannon. Thank you.
I don't know. The movie, if you're comparing it to where Hateful Eight was, you definitely can get the sense that Tarantino was like, all right, I just want to do something that's way looser. Like, really take time. Really spend a lot of time on scenes and character building and getting to know these people, their idiosyncrasies,
that's
who they are, where they're
Brown.
Going. Yeah, because ultimately it's Leonardo DiCaprio's character story,
okay.
Even though all these other things are happening around him.
Got it.
But it's also about Brad Pitt's character, and you really, you know.
It's about Hollywood. Hollywood's the character.
I really got a Strange of Mice and Men vibe from the pair of them.
Okay.
That one always has to answer for the other. That he, like, no matter what happens to these two, one always has to save the other, and vice versa.
Right.
Like, there's a somewhat of Mice and Men kind of dynamic between the two.
Yeah.
Because what I really sparked to, without spoiling it, is that Brad Pitt always plays.
I've spoiled the crap out of this movie already.
But I don't want to give away anything.
Sure.
But Brad Pitt's character in real life plays the same role that he would for Leonardo DiCaprio in what they do for a living. He's constantly having to basically take the hits for DiCaprio, and he gets all the glory. And that's basically, in a nutshell, what happens at the end of the film, without going into minute detail what happens at the end. But when I finally saw where the movie was actually going to go, then I was like, I get it now. It's a much looser written story than the other ones that he's done.
Because
there's a lot of time where he's just spending time on stuff, and you're just like, where is, like, you're having a hard time figuring out where he's going. Right. Because at first I thought, well, okay, he's already done Inglourious Basterds, where he subverted the whole Hitler story.
Right.
But we don't really know if he's going to do that with this one or not. Is he just going to let something like the, is he letting the Sharon Tate thing happen in the background? We just kind of getting to see her like because they live next door. Is he going to pay that off to what we know? And he doesn't. But you know, when I finally saw what it all comes together at the very, very end of the movie, I was like, all right, I get it now.
Gotcha.
So it's really a movie that, when the ending comes along, you get the whole piece of it together, if it makes sense.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So
I felt like that the it was called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because Hollywood was the character, and he was letting the script breathe because he was trying to establish the atmosphere.
I think we get that, like, from the trailers, don't we? I mean, we get that.
No,
we
you
get,
really don't.
You
I
don't.
Mean, from it being
not the way, not after you see the movie. I mean, after you see the movie, it's a completely different thing. Like they've,
yeah,
there's, it's like there's, it's, it plays it. Hollywood plays here like Gotham City plays in a Batman.
Well, and the other thing that, speaking of the Gotham City and Batman and everything, is the way he lets Hollywood be a character, and kind of like you kind of experience it on every strata, every single social strata. And it's wide in Hollywood. It's not just like movie stars and the people who work on the set and everything, but everybody, you know, and you get to experience each part of that story through different characters.
Does it feel different from everything else he's done?
No.
Different. I felt different when I was in there. And it might have been the caliber of star, because he has a tendency to get, like, you know, a big star and then somebody who used to be a big star and then somebody who is like a B level or C level.
Yeah, I kind of missed that part of the movie. I was looking forward to it not being all about Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio and all of the.
And it was a Brad Pitt and Leo movie, so it was a little muted in that sense.
Oh,
like,
gotcha.
you couldn't have.
I didn't feel like it was muted. I felt like it was more focused. I felt like.
Well, put
I felt
it this
like
way.
I felt like he, like, wrote this story with them specifically in mind. Because they're Hollywood stars.
I think he was very faithful to those characters.
It plays to...
I'm not saying he wasn't faithful to the characters, but what I'm saying is if you're going to make a cartoon of what a Tarantino movie would be, these guys would have a conversation about the N-word halfway through the movie and then be like, ah, S-word, you effer, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like,
S-word.
There's, it's just a...
Shiza.
And it seems more mature that way. And then, but the other thing that kind of makes you feel like it's about the stars is because they're so famous, so...
No, all right. I felt like, I mean, if this is about star power and the way that star power, the way that you can sort of, the way that star power was being used in the 60s.
Sorry.
Because you, throughout
I heard star power and I was thinking Captain Marvel and her powers.
Because it goes, no, because.
That's
you,
star power, right?
Because, I mean, he's a fading movie star, and then he. And then he goes and makes the, and he's trying to resist the fact that he's pushed into the westerns in Italy
to play them.
And so, but then that actually becomes something that's pretty actually popular in the 60s and early 70s. And so it's sort of, he regains his star power by doing something that he doesn't think that'll work.
He did like 8 movies in 2 years. Wow. Well, he did, something like that.
He did 4 movies in 2 years.
Well, that's still a lot.
He did three westerns, and he did like a Italian ripoff of a James Bond flick.
Ultimately, now, so though, the but like right. That's part of the. I think the best part of this movie for me, the fun part, was like, you know, all the fake stuff, because Quentin Tarantino is awesome with doing stuff that, like, because there's real stuff that's really there, and then there's like the TV shows and like some of that, those shows are real, some of those actors are real. You know, and some of them, yeah, they like, showed I mean, the real actors. Some of them, they had an actor playing the actor. But it kind of, like, integrated all, so you were just so... You couldn't keep your eye on it. He had the shells moving quickly, and it was really good because it kind of helped bring you into the world with all these new characters and make it real.
Hey, Ron, Captain Five Stars, you were there with the rest of the crew.
You gave it 5 stars.
What was your take on this? And do you agree with the rest of the group here?
Yeah, they all gave... Great points.
Again, well, thank you.
No, I pointed that way though.
Oh, damn. Sick burn.
Damn. But,
sick burn.
Like Gannon's right.
I'm so happy you're signing off on my review.
See, you should.
I'm
be.
So.
I,
no,
but I feel like
counterburn.
Somehow, I feel like not only did you like sort of. You dissed me, but you dissed everybody else on this side of the table, too.
It's like, you guys had great cute points.
You guys
they gave great points.
Obviously, obviously, you guys are neophytes, so I'll let you have a little bit of credit.
I don't know if you guys know, but I'm in the Hawaii Film Critics Society, so I know a thing or two about movies.
Is there a nearby alloy plant? Because all this burn going on.
So what did you think of it, A-Ron? Jeez.
No, alloy. Danny gave a good point that it's a loose
you white guys call it aloe.
Because that's the first thing I thought. It's like over 2 hours of just Tarantino at his tamest. Like, there's no big monologues. There's no memorable...
You're just
memorable.
Saying that because there wasn't anybody saying the N-word every 5 seconds.
Yeah. There was no memorable lines. There's right. No memorable, big memorable scenes. There was no...
You don't Tarantino. Think Brad Pitt fighting Bruce
there's
Lee
memorable
is
scenes.
Pretty memorable?
Yeah, there are memorable scenes, for sure.
You the don't most think memorable, Brad Pitt... The most memorable was when Zoe came out. She stole that scene.
What was that?
Zoe Bell. She was the one in Death Proof. She was Uma Thurman.
That raised the needle for you, not the end when they attack him in the house?
Not just the needle, sir.
Hey, can we just talk about the cool thing that the whole Manson tribe were actually like children of Hollywood stars and stuff?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like all of them.
Yeah, true.
I'd actually like to point out that Tarantino stole one of the villains from Yoga Hosers, of all things.
What?
One of the people in the Manson clan that go to
Kevin Smith's daughter.
Kevin Smith's
Kevin Smith's daughter's in it. That you already knew.
We already knew.
But the man that's in the clan that goes to go do the attack, he's actually one of the bad guys from Yoga Hosers.
No!
And I could not figure out that's why awesome. I recognize his face.
Oh, Tex.
And I was thinking, huh?
Want to play his Tex?
Yes.
So a lot of the Manson family is like young Hollywood, second generation Hollywood, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
that, I
awesome
thought that was interesting. Better. Yeah, I thought that was good casting. No, that was really good.
There's like a 3 degrees of separation to the Manson family murders in Hollywood. Everybody was related in some way or another to...
I almost feels like there's a certain...
Half of them were related to Will Smith. Did you know that?
my thing is this, is that when I'm hearing from you, it seems as if you guys... I mean, I guess there's a certain expectation that people have with Quentin's movies.
Yeah, 5 stars. Oh.
It doesn't seem like this movie's kind of fitting into that mold.
No, I mean, this is totally Inglourious Basterds. Nothing happens for 90 minutes in that movie.
Inglourious Basterds was great, though.
Dude, that scene in the bar. Yeah, if you're not sucking
but that,
that
didn't
scene?
Happen until like minute 93.
The very
like, that,
first scene
like,
of Inglourious Basterds
was
amazing.
That happens a lot earlier in that movie than I think you remember.
No, I don't know.
The first scene.
It's a 2-hour movie that happens at the like before the climax.
I don't know about that.
Inglourious Basterds. Inglourious Basterds. You had a guy threatening to scalp Nazis the entire time, and you didn't get to see it until the third act.
I thought like the first scene was the milk.
You don't
scene.
Think the scene where he walks into that dude's Waltz. House and they're hiding the Jewish
the
people
scene,
under the
right?
floorboards? You
that
don't think
was
any
incredible.
Of that was tense?
Yeah, but I mean, but that's it's
nothing
still,
actually happens other than the very end of the scene. But that is a very tense scene.
Absolutely,
Jeez. The same thing happens when Manson walks into Polanski's front yard.
That scene
in
lasts
this movie.
5 minutes.
Exactly.
And there's very little dialogue.
And you knew that he was a crazy person.
But that's only because
he found out where he was going to go.
But that's only because of what you know of him.
Right.
What you take into that scene is what that is.
Right. So, but you're right. Nothing about what I know about Nazis in Inglourious Basterds has anything to do with the way that the
but
Jews
are. But that particular
are.
Character, that's and once point. You learn about him in that dialogue, you is all made up. You've never heard of that guy before in your life.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter because he's a Nazi hunting Jews.
The character stuff does.
And the Jews are in the floorboards. That's the whole thing. That's the whole, that's
they're
the same
backdrop
thing.
Of the scene. They're not the important part of the scene.
Yeah,
the important
but
part
no,
of the scene is learning about that character.
But there's no tension in that scene without
there absolutely is.
Yeah.
There's no.
I hate to dig in my heels on this one.
I have to agree with Gannon on it.
I'm saying
he comes in like he's the best friend you will ever have. Meanwhile, you know for sure this guy is not your best friend.
He's terrifying.
Right, but that's
and he's chews the scenery. It's
and that's the same. And I think that's the same thing that happens with. That's the same thing that happens with Manson when Manson sees Sharon Tate. Sharon Tate, it's the inverse of that scene. Sharon Tate, instead of hiding out in the house in this, she walks out to the front yard, and at that moment you see Charlie Manson want to murder.
But those
her.
Two scenes are hugely apples and oranges, Todd.
I don't think that they are.
I think they are.
Can I ask you something that's on
because it's juxtaposing history what actually happens in the scene. You actually you know that Manson's going to come back to
but
murder
let's strip out real life history from these things. Let's strip it out. Let's completely ignore anything that we know about what's going to happen from that moment forward.
Okay.
Let's strip out everything we know about those two things. If you put those two scenes next to each other, Manson going to her house is not even close to as tense as what that scene is when that guy goes to that house and that cabin, knowing full well what his intentions are going to be.
Yeah. You don't know. You can't. Well, then you have to strip out what his intentions are in that scene.
He tells him what he's there for.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen until later in the scene.
He tells him what he's there for.
When he first gets
you don't
there,
know
he
Manson's
lets
coming
know.
There
he does let
to kill
him
her.
Know. He does let them know.
He tells them straight up, are you hiding Jews? Manson doesn't come over and be like, I think I'm going to kill you in a few days.
Don't you think that that's more interesting? Don't you think that that's a more interesting...
I'm not saying either one is not interesting, but what I'm saying is completely on a performance level, on a character basis, the one in Glorious Bastards is, as far as it's written and performed, is much better than what they do with
So, performance-wise, how's this guy that's playing Charles Manson? Is he
doesn't
good?
Do much.
He's not in it.
You don't
he's
get to like see much of him, seconds, which is exactly my
what?
Point.
That was it. He walks a footpath.
What?
He does very little.
You know that scene in the trailer where he's saluting to
Yeah.
Brandon? That's
not
it.
That's it?
He's a looming shadow over the whole story,
they
but he's there's
out.
Nothing with him really.
No way.
Nothing.
Yeah.
His
and
family
that, I mean,
speaks for him.
That's my favorite part of
that's incredible.
That's my favorite part of this movie is that
the movie's
like,
not about him.
Well, no, he my just favorite, walks up to the house and asks if Dennis Wilson still is there.
Yeah, my favorite part of the movie is that he is this shadow. And everybody thinks that there's going to be this crazy torture scene at the end of the movie, and then he sort of twists the ending. And so
I can hear you breathing.
I can hear me breathing. Sorry.
So that's my.
Can you do the rest of the show without breathing, please?
Sure.
I think that Inglourious Basterds, it was all talk. Like it was all talk. Like you have.
But a lot of his movies are.
But I mean, with Inglourious Basterds,
you wouldn't say a Quentin Tarantino movie, with the exception of Kill Bill, probably is an action extravaganza.
Right, but and that's my point is that he comes in, he talks for 15 minutes about what he's going to do if he finds Jews in Inglourious Basterds, and he sets up the tension, that's 80 years ago, so Tarantino's really got to set the mood. The Tate murders are pretty recent in everybody's memory. We all know that Sharon Tate is supposed to get brutally murdered by followers of Charles Manson throughout the entire movie. And
I think we at this table are probably the only people, anybody younger than us would not know who that was.
But what I'm saying, and anybody who went to the movie, I mean,
because they don't have the internet.
But I mean,
no, but I mean, but for his argument,
they didn't grow up with it, but I'm correct, sure, sure they're aware.
In his argument, yeah.
So what I'm saying is that Tarantino gets, like, it's 69, and he gets to sort of let those scenes breathe a little bit.
I
kind of
want to see this now.
He gets to let the, he doesn't have to go
just
into,
so I can be like, the I don't know who this guy is.
He doesn't have to go.
Why
into
is he on the screen for 5 seconds?
Oh. It'll trip you out.
He doesn't have to go into the monologues that were in Inglourious Basterds to set up the tension, because the tension was all within us.
Can
like we brought the tension
so do you,
into the theater with us.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, I thought it was a good flick. I'm not going to say. I'm not trying to contradict anything that anybody else here is saying.
It's
but
okay
I
if you
that,
are.
Yes, you are.
But I think that
I don't want you to agree with me.
But I think that there was a. I think that the atmosphere and the tension was really thick in this movie, and I think that the suspense was completely different.
Huh.
For a Tarantino film.
I really
film.
Want to see this now.
Interesting.
You should go see it.
It's an
interesting
movie. I don't know
movie
anything about Charles Manson, so.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would actually like to see what you think of it, not knowing about the Manson Tate murders.
He's a charmer, that guy.
Yeah. I pay you to be. You know what? You're not far off because women were in love with him.
He's like a white Jesus.
He's a Weezus.
Mm. Well, he's the first white Jesus, so.
He's more of a Weezy. Mm-hmm. He's a Weezy.
So, Aaron.
Hey, can we do a top three
Tarantino movies? All right. Before we do that, Aaron, you already put out your review. You gave it 3.5 stars. But here on the show, we talk about does a Nerd Watch recommend Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Francine?
It is long.
I mean,
though.
if you go into it as a Bruce Lee fan, you might get irritated, the same as most
Bruce
Lee fans.
Do
are,
you do you recommend it?
I didn't.
Bruce's
like
daughter
okay.
Shannon didn't
fair
like
enough.
It.
They didn't.
Yeah,
do,
Bruce's daughter did not like it.
Look, the guy,
which is hilarious.
The guy
Shannon
who they
is,
had
like, notorious for using
his
her
image.
Dad's image yeah. and stuff.
The thing is, the guy who played Bruce Lee, I don't think anybody's arguing that he didn't do a good job, but the way he was written and the scenes that
he's
they
a,
used
he's
him,
a caricature
him,
of
wow.
Bruce Lee. He's not really Bruce,
Bruce Lee.
He's a caricature
he's
of Bruce
the,
Lee.
He's Bruce Lee based on all the interviews that you've ever seen.
Yeah, he's
is
the,
it, is
he's
it
the pop culture.
Shaolin Soccer?
Stephen Chow?
Well, when his scenes came up, there was a point where I was just like, is he intentionally playing it a little too big, or are they doing it on purpose? Because this is kind of a heightened reality version of reality. So when I thought about it in terms of like, okay, well, Tarantino's playing with it in a heightened reality.
Sure.
So in
that's why I thought it was a fantasy scene.
Yeah, so in Tarantino's world, Bruce Lee was this cocky kind of guy.
This scene with Bruce Lee is a flashback in the movie.
Yeah,
Francine literally thought it was like a daydream.
Yeah, I thought he was just like a fantasy about what he thought would happen if he went.
If he were to come to the set.
I kind of feel like this movie is all through Rick and his buddy's eyes. I kind of feel like this is all like you got drunk with these guys 10 years later after the Tate murders. Mm. And they were like, no, we beat up those guys
although,
the night before.
Although the narrator is Kurt Russell.
Right.
But that gets dropped halfway through, though.
No, it picks back up at the end.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I don't remember at the end.
Yeah, it was really awkward.
It's like the dad and
because I forgot.
Well, so put it this way,
narrator of the story at a certain point.
Put it this way, it's kind of.
Oh, you know what? You're right because he starts giving the timeline.
It's very natural at the beginning, and you're like, "What does that even matter?" And then you meet Kurt Russell, but he's not the narrator during that part of the movie. And then it happens again at the end, and then you're like, "Why is Kurt Russell the narrator?"
Why is he the narrator?
Nothing he says is factually inaccurate, though. As a narrator.
What do you mean?
Like, everything he says is accurate.
But that's not what they're saying. What do I don't understand?
What does that mean?
Yeah. But, I mean, everything he talks about. He talks about it.
Okay, but the point we're making though is like, why is he the narrator? Because he wasn't there for any of those things.
Because he's hearing it as a like, I feel like he's the foil to Rick's story. So like, Rick gets drunk at a party, and he's like, "Once upon a time, I beat up the Manson family, and I lit them on fire because I lived next door to Sharon Tate."
So what was the name of that movie?
That's fascinating.
And so he's basically like. Basically, this is their story.
We were trying to avoid saying Todd just blurted the whole thing out, so you now know how it ends. Right. Good job.
And so, and then he's the other guy that they're talking to, basically, and he's like, "No, so this is what happens. This is what happens." And then that night, the night of the murders, X, Y, and Z happen. And that's all we know.
I can definitely say that you do kind of get that vibe off the movie, that it would be like somebody else's recounting of a story.
And right. Hence,
I could definitely agree with that.
Hence the title, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Right.
It's a very complicated... Why wouldn't you want Kurt Russell to be your narrator? Sure. That guy's voice
is all just...
It's a very complicated...
Just a recanting.
Like, it's like a game of telephone. Not.
It's just the way you can take it.
That's why I brought up the narrator.
It's a fan fiction version of something that happened for real. That's all you got to know about it. That's basically the idea of the movie.
It's a fairy tale, and
that's just one way to interpret it. That's not actually it. You're confusing format because when he goes in there,
but that's what it is. It's like it's somebody else. That's what you're interpreting.
Well, he specifically said that's why it's called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood,
and that actually would make sense.
Back to Once Upon a Time in China and Once Upon a Time in Mexico
and Once Upon a Time in America.
We're all on the same page here. I don't know why.
Once Upon a Time in the West. I know where you're going. I understand where format's coming from. I get that.
But the great thing about that is that like this ends with Once Upon a Time. Instead of happily ever after.
Interesting.
So it's not the end of the story.
It's not the end of the story.
I really want to see this three-hour movie.
If you ever wanted to see Brad Pitt beat up Bruce Lee, this is your movie.
Sweet. All right, let's go around the table.
It's totally believable too.
Go around the table. We'll stay on this Quentin Tarantino topic. Top three Quentin Tarantino films. Aaron, go.
3.5 stars.
3 will be Death Proof. 2, Pulp Fiction.
Death Proof.
2, Pulp Fiction.
Who picks that
and
in a top?
1 would be Django.
Django's your number one, huh?
Wow.
Pulp Fiction's number 2. Hey, Todd?
Me?
Top 3.
Can you come back to me?
I need your instantaneous answers now.
He has to wait until he hears all the other
movies. I'm going to buy some time. Can I pull in written stuff or only
no,
directed?
No, only directed. Of the only, nine. Only, of the nine. Only directed.
Only directed stuff? I would do Kill Bill Volume 2 as number 3.
Okay, good. Good job.
Well, I thought there were one movie we could count them as.
Can we count
it? Yeah, we can count as one movie. Yeah. That's fine.
Kill Bill. So Kill Bill's one movie is number 3. Kill Bill Volume 1 would be 4.
Got it.
And then
he just wanted to diminish
number 1.
And then Jackie Brown and then Reservoir Dogs.
Woof.
That's a good one. Format.
Over Pulp Fiction.
Are you? Do you have a top 3?
Pulp Fiction's okay, but it's not
Tarantino films.
That's great.
Probably okay. Pulp Fiction, True Romance.
It's in the top 5.
And then
True Romance doesn't count because he's not the director.
He's the writer.
He's the writer
Screw
only.
You guys, he's my.
That's my game.
I would have. They did set the definition as
did you
just
think,
directorial.
Did you think I wouldn't have picked a Christian Slater movie if I could?
That's right. That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
In my top 3, I'm going to start with Cuffs.
Cuffs.
Finger cuffs.
Gleaming the Cube.
Gleaming the Cube.
My Brother's Keeper.
No. Yes.
And Prince of Thieves.
Prince of Thieves?
Will Scarlet, yo.
Will Scarlet, yo.
No, Pulp Fiction... I don't know. What else did he do? I don't know.
Reservoir Dogs, Inglorious Bastards, Kill Bill.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Perfect. All right. What about you?
But Kill Bill 1, not 2.
Okay, gotcha. 1, not 2.
Five-finger death punch is stupid.
Got it.
Stupid! At least Kill Bill Volume 1 had the animated scene.
At least in Hot Rod, it made you poop your pants.
Volume 2's got the Spider-Man.
Lame.
Monologue.
It's a Superman monologue.
Same difference.
The Superman.
Same. They are the same character, really.
Superman. Yeah, they are. They both wear red and blue.
It's got the blue Carmen Ghia from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Gannon, your top three.
In Hollywood?
You know, I don't really pick them based on which I think are better. I think I'm picking them more as what's the most rewatchable.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, if I could just keep watching it over and over and over again.
That's kind of my definition, though.
Yeah, like, I mean,
wouldn't that be your
and it's
favorite?
Not necessarily in order, but Pulp Fiction, I can watch Hateful Eight over and over and over again. I don't know what it is with that movie, but I can watch that over and over and over again. It's always great. And then if I'm looking at a third...
Inglourious Bastards.
I can't rewatch the whole thing. Like, I'll tune it out after a while. But if I want, like, it's a movie that if I turn it on, I settle in and I just watch it all the way through again. Okay. Probably Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown, great film.
But yeah, they're just like, I don't know. Hatefully, it's just so recent. I hate to pull it, but like it, I can watch it over and over again. Like, I watch it so much.
There's only nine, so just don't discount any of them.
Well, no, but like, because it's still
Star Trek.
Not yet.
No,
that's going to be number 10. Francine, what about you?
He's going to back out. Watch. He's going to back out.
Let's see. Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Death Proof.
Okay.
And probably, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I remember really loving Jackie Brown when I watched it.
Jackie Brown's great.
God,
Jackie
Brown. But I watch Kill Bill all the time with my son, and I really enjoy it.
Kill Bill's fantastic.
Kill Bill is crazy rewatchable.
Awesome. Yeah. Alika, what's your top
three?
What's in your top three?
But I agree with you, though, Todd. I would rather watch two more than one.
Yeah, because you guys are savages.
Well, I think I probably saw Volume 1 a lot more. Just because I was looking forward to
waiting for two,
The Superman thing is stupid.
No, it's
anyways,
not.
Go ahead.
It's
Todd,
awesome.
Todd.
No, it's not. It's totally stupid.
It's not time for you to pontificate on Kill Bill. It is Alika's time to pick his.
Well, I think that's the beauty of a Tarantino movie is the monologue itself is stupid, but the way and the style of which it's done is what's good.
The monologue, I mean, there's always the way that he writes his material is fantastic. And I think that you could point to any Tarantino movie and be like, I love that movie because of that speech.
There's been comic book stuff in his movies all throughout.
All throughout, yeah.
Even down to True Romance. He worked at a comic book store.
Yeah. So,
Alika?
True Romance, right.
Kill Bill,
mm-hmm.
Pulp Fiction,
uh-huh.
Django.
Very good.
Django is like, when I got out of that movie, I was like, holy, that is like.
I think that Django is the closest to like a superhero flick that he's ever going to do.
I thought that was going to be like a revolution in cinema. Yeah. I was like, he invented a new genre, the Civil War era Southie.
The slave western.
No.
Slave western. That would be like a crazy new genre of movie. I'm ready to watch
one
of these.
There were already movies in the 60s like that.
Did you ever see Sukiyaki Western Django?
No.
Sukiyaki Western Django was done by the guy that did like the 12 Assassins.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's in that sweet
Takashi
vein
Miike?
Of
Takashi Miike did this Western. He hired all Japanese characters.
He did.
It was set.
No. I'm aware of it. It's weird that Todd pulled that, not Gozu or Audition. Yeah.
Well, so he. I mean,
but he did. He did this, and he hired Tarantino to give the monologue at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, he wrote it.
And.
He delivered it.
I don't know if he wrote. He
might
have written it.
Did he not know Tarantino's not great at performing?
Tarantino basically did the Iron Chef version of a campfire sukiyaki, and he like made the egg and the noodles. And
I
stuff
never watched the movie.
And
so
talked about it, and it was awesome. And I think that like right after Tarantino is in this, like 2 years after, Django comes out.
Question.
And I don't know if they're related or
yes,
not.
Yes, sir.
What's the comic book thing in Django?
I didn't say that. Don't look at me.
Oh. Django, I think Django is a...
You said everything has a comic
there's
book
a lot,
thing.
There's
so
a lot. There's
no,
a lot.
No, here's a comic connection with Django is he was a comic book.
There was a comic book.
Yeah. His character was so...
I'm so out of it now.
His character was so cartoonish. And so you didn't realize... You saw it. It was in the store.
Yeah, I saw it.
We had the Django. That's... Realize
but
that's
I thought
the
that
only
like a...
that's the only Tarantino created character that's a comic book and that's viable as a comic character. He crossed over with Zorro, and that's the
official sequel to Django Unchained.
That is what fed into my belief that this would be like a new genre of cinema. I'd be like, the sky's the limit.
He was supposed to be in Hateful Eight.
Well,
it was the IDW. Was the IDW did the.
Dynamite.
Dynamite did the crossover.
There's been a lot of those movies that, like Django have existed that were about that in particular.
The original Django was in Italian. It was a spaghetti
Western.
It's
a great movie.
The original Django's in Django.
So
talking about the exploitation, though, Yeah, the from the original movie he was in.
Yeah, Franco Nero.
Yeah.
It's a very forced scene in that movie, too, where he's just there. Like, Django it's with cool. a D. He's like, I know. And he walks out.
Because that is how I spell my name as well.
Yeah, I was like, that's a little forced, but that's okay. You can get away with that one.
It was the character.
Dalika.
Yes, Dalika.
Dalika with
the
D.
The D is silent.
Dalika.
Dalika.
Django was based on a jazz artist who...
Django Reinhardt.
Yeah, Django Reinhardt. He burnt... He was...
Who invented
artist.
Acid jazz before acid existed? No,
and he was in he was in a fire acid. And he could only play with three fingers.
He was missing out his pinky.
Topher was really upset about how factually inaccurate the cigarette dipped in acid would be used.
Yeah, he's like, you can't smoke it. Oh. You gotta lick it. You gotta cut open your
was
veins.
Was he adamant about it?
Yeah, he was mad.
That's all I kept saying.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, right. But while we're talking about exploitation flicks, yes. about Western and stuff. I found out about another one that I really want to see. I know I brought it up already, but the Charles Bronson did a samurai Western called Red Sun.
Red Sun.
And the poster is like the stuff of dreams. And it made me so bad want to see this movie.
Red Sun is actually a pretty good movie. It's got
is it good?
It's got
I want it to be
Red
good.
Sun's got Toshiro Mifune in it as well.
Did you ever watch that weird movie that came out with the guy that looks like Charles Bronson? And it's
I want to.
I've seen it at Walmart.
He's like a Chinese action star, and he's like dead ringer for
Chinese?
Charles.
I don't
know.
I thought he was like Israeli or something.
I don't know,
something.
I don't know what he was, but something. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I wanted to see it.
But he looks
I think
exactly
he's got two
like
of them out now.
Isn't it called like Messenger of Death or some stupid name like
it's
that?
It's something that sounds like a Bronson film.
Yeah, that doesn't sound stupid to me.
No, well,
God, I got to look it up. I can't remember
look
now.
Look it up. Anyway.
I've been meaning to see it, and I just keep forgetting all about it.
I love Charles Bronson. Like he's awesome.
You kind of look like him.
Thank you.
You should grow a mustache.
That he's one ugly mofo.
You should grow a mustache.
Are you kidding me? That dude's an Adonis.
I'm just going to carry around a sock full of quarters now. You're going to be a vigilante, whatever that
That's
means.
That's pretty good.
It's pronounced...
I keep a sock full of quarters. Vigilante. Death kiss.
Death kiss. There it is. Death kiss.
Death kiss.
That's it.
God, he looks so much like him. It's so crazy. Like Robert Kovacs is his name. Very not Chinese.
Very not Chinese.
Very
yeah,
not
Robert
Chinese.
Kovacs, the Chinese actor.
The Chinese actor, Charlie Charles or Robert Kovacs.
Robert Kovacs.
Didn't he play a Hindu in Johnny Five?
In Johnny Five.
That's Fisher Stevens.
That's Fisher Stevens.
Same awesome. Guy.
It's Short Circuit.
All right.
No, he was in
Respect the name of Johnny Five's film, sir.
Now. Gentlemen, now that we're off of Quentin Tarantino and awaiting his 10th...
I'm sorry, before you move forward.
Yes.
This review of Death Kiss. Death Kiss is unwatchable, but man, that guy looks like Charles Bronson.
good stuff.
That sounds about right.
Before That's we awesome. Get before we move on to some hard media, there was a couple of one big announcement, or not one big announcement, but there was a big premiere on Amazon Prime.
Did we
boys,
all watch it?
I have not seen The Boys.
I've only seen episode one.
I watched it.
I watched the whole thing.
So, is it number one for those that watched it?
I was actually surprised I managed to while moving.
No, well, those
episode one is a nonstop freight train.
Is it
holy crap?
All I want to know is it good? Is it good?
It's actually really good. I never read the books. I had nothing to compare it to.
It sounds great.
It's a very
Garth Ennis is a great writer. So
I don't think it's Ennis.
No doubt that anything that's written. Created from Garth Ennis's work is going to be incredible.
I like when Django makes his way on screen.
Wait, first of all, isn't it Ennis?
That's what I said, Garth Ennis.
I used to say Ennis, and he's jumping on that.
Oh, here we
Someone's
go.
Someone's got to keep
got
it alive.
It.
It's Ennis with a D.
Okay, somebody at this table.
Derek Robertson was the artist.
Somebody
if
at
I
this
right.
table. Francine is who I'm looking at. Francine, could you tell
Why
us?
Why don't
give
you just say Francine then?
I
stupid.
Have someone at the table.
Give us a synopsis of The Boys.
Okay, I feel like it
the
is
boys.
A superhero universe where superheroes exist in modern times and how corporate America uses them. That's pretty much it. And so the superheroes are treated like gods, but they act very human. They're full of faults and they're kind of jerks. And then there's the people who... are tired of them kind of getting away with stuff and trying to get vengeance on them. But it opens up to so much more. There's a lot going on in it, and the last episode is really awesome. I really enjoyed the whole
thing.
It
seems like what I got to see here when I was here, it seems like Amazon spent some money on this thing.
It definitely does have kind of a major film, like superhero film kind of budget. Like it looks big and
it's expensive.
Well,
put it this way, when they start the show, the opening credits is like an MCU, DCEU image scroll.
I will say this. I was worried when I saw who was part of it, that Tim Kripke guy, the guy who was responsible for Heroes, and I think like Grimm. So I didn't get to watch Grimm. Everybody says you're a creative force behind it.
Yes. I don't know that. I
was a little worried because I know that how Heroes started was great, but then after that, after the first season was awful.
You know that this is also a Seth Rogen thing, right?
No, I did not.
Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are producers on
it. No kidding. I did not know that. Yeah. Interesting.
You see them in the credits, and Seth Rogen shows up on the show at some point.
I think that when they optioned this, they optioned Preacher at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
if I remember, they were talking about that being developed at the same time.
Is this, whose book is this?
It's the same guy who wrote Preacher. It's Warren.
Garth Ennis.
Is it just Ennis?
Ennis.
Okay.
Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson.
Derek Robertson only wrote the first, like...
But he drew them all though, right?
No, he didn't draw them all. He drew the first like 12 or 14 or something.
Okay.
And then it was somebody else for volume 2.
Okay.
But it
started with them at least.
It started with them, yeah.
So
they're co-creators.
Is this something that people...
It's got a bit of a Watchmen vibe. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have like the poetry that Watchmen does, but it's Watchmen if a really sardonic British guy wrote it. Which is funny to say because Alan Moore is British.
Right.
But like, you know, very... cynical mind.
Is this a series that people will subscribe to Amazon Prime for?
Yeah.
I'm surprised people haven't already subscribed to
it.
It's not the tick.
Because Amazon Prime members couldn't save the tick. But
no, they couldn't.
But I thought that got a second season.
It got canceled, too.
The Watchmen's coming out with its own.
Yes, we talked about that last week.
And the more I'm seeing, the more it flat out looks like a sequel series.
It is a sequel.
No, but when they were talking about it in the beginning stages, they were saying it's something of a remix of the original story.
It's not a remix. It's up sequel.
Yeah, when you see the trailers, it's flat out what happens next.
So this could be a big hit for Amazon Prime.
Oh, no, I'm talking about The Boys.
I would agree because it's a really great series, and it's definitely like you sit down and watch the whole damn thing. It's a binge worthy show because
really appreciate it if my Amazon didn't keep cutting out.
You know what, mine did too. Like every 10 minutes, it would stop and start buffering.
You're not used to that kind of
every
demand.
10 minutes.
I wonder if it. I'm curious if it's the actual internet connection or if there's so many people watching it at this time.
It's not necessarily the internet. It happens to people.
It's the internet. This is Maui.
It's not just a Maui issue.
You know what's interesting is that
it's an Amazon issue.
Because when I watched Netflix, that went smoothly.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I didn't have any problems watching it, but I did have to stop before the rape scenes and kick everybody out of the room. You know, like
did you finish the show?
There are rape scenes?
It. Yeah. There's actually not.
I didn't like the way it ended.
There's not.
Well, so much for watching this show.
It's pretty abrupt. It goes off a cliff.
I thought the end was very, very, like, that's what I'm looking for here.
The
ending felt presumptuous to me. Like, they're anticipating that there will be a second season when there's no promise that this show is going to be that big of a thing.
But it ended the same way that every episode ended. Like,
the end of the season...
Yeah, but they're
very presumptuous that there'll be a set. I mean, it's probably gonna get one, but let's say nobody watched it. You're not getting a complete story.
That's what I was saying. Like, I have Prime and I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
See, the thing
I don't
is,
really care.
The show that's actually been making waves on Amazon Prime.
It is really good. You should watch it.
The show that's been making waves.
I watched
Prime
this on the Charlie Manson thing.
Has nothing to do with superheroes or anything like that.
And that's the wonderful
Miss Maisel, which has gotten a ton of Emmy awards.
I heard that was good too.
Yeah.
But I have Prime and I haven't watched it.
And that's the weird thing too, because
I'm really talking about that.
No. What I'm saying is that the reason why I'm bringing that up is because it's interesting
that all of that stuff. I don't watch any of it.
The jump off point now is that they think that they can produce something like The Boys because of the success of Miss Maisel, because they got a lot of press and they got a lot of people have eyes on. Amazon Prime. So it's interesting they'd pick this as their next project.
Jack Ryan's great.
Well, they had Jack Ryan's, Good Omens.
Mm-hmm.
Good Omens.
But there's no big
Yeah, that's
thing
true too.
Behind that.
Yeah, that's true too. The Boys is the one that's getting the biggest push out of all of these other shows
because
on Amazon Prime.
Because it sticks out. It's a superhero thing. It's a big thing right now. So
yeah,
I guess. It rises up above everything else.
It's actually, it's really, like, I would watch it again.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited to see it myself.
Carl Urban shines in this show.
Carl Urban
is
made
like
my underwear catch on fire.
He was great.
I went through 8 pairs of underwear watching it. One for each episode.
I think it was Mark
Gould. Like the mom from Pleasantville?
I think it was Mark Gould that pointed it out. He's just like, he really should play Wolverine after this. And when he said that, I was like, you know what? He's kind of right because he's got a major Wolverine vibe through the whole thing.
Nah, man. I mean, I honestly think they should do the Dread thing. He was really good in Dread.
He was excellent in Dread.
They're not going to make another one of those.
He didn't take the helmet off.
What? What the hell is that got to do with anything?
Therefore, the superior comic adaptation.
No, I got that. No, I completely agree. I like Dread, but that movie made no money. They're not going to make anything.
Are you out of your mind? Because Dread it's costume accurate? You didn't like that movie because it was costume accurate?
I thought it was so boring.
You didn't like that? Really?
Stallone judge. Yeah. That's not Dread. This is the
Yeah.
I love the Stallone Dread movie.
Did you ever see The Raid?
You're a pervert.
That's why. And I heard it's the same movie.
I'll let him pass on that because those are both the exact same movie and The Raid is better.
Wow.
Well, that's not the technicality.
I'm sorry. Because it's got zombies.
The Raid and Dread are the exact same movie.
Because it's got zombies instead of drug addicts?
There's no zombies in The Raid. Did you see The Raid?
I'm thinking Wreck.
I was, yeah. The Raid is a whole other movie.
It's the same thing.
It's no, The Raid and Dread are the exact same.
All right. This takes place in a
The Stallone Dread is number one. That's all you got to know.
This whole.
It takes place in a building. It's run by a drug dealer. It's shut down when the cops show up, and only one guy is going to get everybody through to the end. It's the exact same movie.
Dread versus Stallone versus Rocky.
That's not gonna work.
No.
This whole conversation's a wreck now.
Rocky.
Not another Rocky. I'm really curious.
I gotta pay my bills.
I don't know what it is about Carl Urban. If they're talking about him being Wolverine, that would be the second Australian actor.
He's from New Zealand.
Is he?
Yeah, well, he's from New Zealand.
I thought he was from Australia.
But also, can I point out?
How dare you?
Can I point out that some of the earliest depictions of Wolverine, particularly in the Pride of X-Men cartoon, he does have an Australian accent for some reason. They play Wolverine's Crikey, look at these claws.
They can get anyone to play Wolverine, really. Because, I mean,
get a French guy to
know what a Wolverine
got
brought on.
Wow,
all
right, fair enough.
Sneak.
Well, so we should watch The Boys, is what we're saying.
I would definitely recommend it.
Apparently that, but, Charlie Manson movie.
But,
and,
you know, temper your expectations for how it ends, because it's super abrupt and it doesn't complete the story at all. Like, it's definitely expecting a second season.
How long was The Boys comic series?
It's still going, isn't it?
Is it?
No.
It was like 20.
They're the men
issues.
Now.
It was a Vertigo comic.
Was it an ongoing or was it a mini series or maxi series?
It was an ongoing mini series.
It wasn't Vertigo. It was like Dynamite or something.
No, it was.
It's not Vertigo.
I thought it was
Vertimite.
Bitumite.
No, it wasn't.
And it's no longer The Boys because it ran too long.
Did you order the trades?
Maybe, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was a Vertigo.
It's not Vertigo. I can promise you.
You know what's great? We have cell phones. We can look these things up and fact check them.
And while you guys are looking that up, it's time to check in with the very hot Captain Five Stars. It's time to check in for Hard Media this week. Let's find out what's coming out this Tuesday.
Huh? Oh, great.
Yes.
The return of the
first thing is season one of Deadly
Dynamite Entertainment.
Deadly Class.
What did I tell you?
Did you order it?
Hold on, though. Originally published by Wildstorm, so you're almost
DC.
Right.
No, I said it was a DC comic.
No,
all right.
Wildstorm became DC after it was Image.
But they were already part of DC by the time that book came out.
No, they were actually an independent company at that point.
But by the time The Boys came out, Wildstorm was owned by DC.
All right, nerds.
They totally were.
Oh, my gosh.
Wildstorm was an independent company. It left Image, was its own company,
frickin' nerds,
and then DC bought it.
But when The Boys started, Wildstorm was already owned by DC.
The Boys started in 2003. No, it wasn't.
The Boys started in 2006.
It says it right here, 2006. Right,
so tell me when Wildstorm was bought by DC.
I'll find that out right
1999,
now.
1999, bitches.
Not. Oh, why'd you?
Wow.
These are important facts. It's way, I mean, there's nothing good came out anyway.
Wait, hey, 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 listen, let him get it through his list. Here we go. Back to you.
Well, we need to resolve this.
We will after this is done.
The first one is season one of Deadly Class.
Oh, yay.
1998.
Yeah.
Warner Archive is releasing What Happened to Baby Jane and A Streetcar Named Desire.
Great movies.
Oh, boring.
Terrible movies.
No, they're not.
They're boring.
They're great.
Wildstorm.
The second Power Rangers movie, Turbo, is getting a Blu-ray release.
Turbo?
Did you know when they interview serial killers, they almost always list show tunes as their favorite movies?
Well, those are not show tunes. But anyway, what else?
4K is getting...
What was the last movie?
30th
Turbo, the second Mighty Morphin Power
Rangers. Turbo, the Power Rangers story.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They made a sequel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did Ivan Ooze come back?
No.
The Red Ranger turned evil or something.
Yeah.
Some crap like that.
The Red Rangers and Devo?
30th anniversary of Glory.
Great with film. With the hat and everything?
Yeah, something like that. Which one was that?
Glory. 30th anniversary.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
And it's also going to show in Maui Mall, I believe, next week.
Nice.
It's with Denzel, right?
Yep.
Yes. And Matthew Broderick.
Oscar win.
Mommy.
He never said that to Matthew Broderick.
My man.
The two biggest releases of the week is the ones I picked up. The Intruder and Long Shot.
The Intruder and Long Shot.
Long Shot is great. Who told you you have to buy that?
I did because they're great.
Oh.
Wow.
Long Shot is really great.
You know.
What is it about?
Opinions are like buttholes.
So on Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron.
Gotcha.
They all stink.
All right, listen. Oh. There is one more film that came out digitally today.
Hold on. Deadly Class Season 1.
Nothing
he said was interesting to me, so I didn't hear it.
Because you weren't listening.
I literally said
something
that.
About a long
I wasn't
shot.
Listening because what he said wasn't interesting to me. Anyway,
there's one more movie that came out digitally. It's a very big film.
Digitally means fingers.
We got, of course, Avengers Endgame on.
Turn the music off. In the,
hey,
chat.
It's fine. We got Avengers Endgame that came out today.
I think
digital.
Batman Hush is out too.
And Batman Hush.
How about this?
You're don't spoil the ending.
And that's your hard media, ladies and gentlemen, with these idiots.
Yay.
Unbelievable.
The addition of the music.
Pick up your digital copy of The Avengers Endgame.
Hard media will be August 13th.
August 13th. Yeah, 2 weeks from now.
Wow.
Wow. Thanks. You want
to
do that one more time, Todd?
Because it's
wow.
Awesome.
You're an idiot.
You're not the only one with a soundboard.
Yeah, your mouth is a soundboard.
Yeah.
Ding dong.
Your mouth. Is
it your mouth is a
is that like that John Mayer song? Your mouth is a soundboard.
Yeah, your mouth is a soundboard.
Your mouth is a wonderland.
I can't do that. I would try to sing his voice, but I have a voice made for not.
I'm
singing.
Sure you do. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we've come to the end of another mediocre program.
How dare you? This was amazing.
No, it wasn't.
Man, you really think highly of yourself.
It's because you didn't get to see the movie.
If there's anything that makes this show suck, it's the soundboard full of unnecessary music.
Hey,
I agree.
There's nothing wrong with the soundboard. Absolutely nothing.
There's nothing wrong with the soundboard.
Like it's operator error.
It's become operator.
The worst part of the show. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I agree too. Yeah,
agreed.
Remember when we used to do the sound effects? Oh man,
we didn't need sound gimmicks to do a show.
Hey, hey,
oh man,
we need them.
Remember how I would do voices, and then Todd would take those voices and run with it?
I used to do.
And then have anything now.
They were terrible. Well, just to let you guys know, format and your voices were terrible, Todd.
My brain is not terrible.
It's terrible.
Everything.
Shut your trap
about.
Everything that we did light years beyond what you can do.
Wow. All right. I'm pretty sure.
Alika only praises your voice because he knows he'll get you to work for free.
Yeah. That's what I already noticed.
He's a means to an end. Yeah.
So, Francine.
How else are you going to get a free host?
Hey, before we get out of here, Francine, you were working on something all program long. What was it you were working on?
I was doodling.
Doodling?
She's drawing a picture of Aaron.
Oh, she's drawing a picture of Aaron. Oh, how cute. I can't wait to see it.
Agreed.
This week, by the way, before we get out of here, we are doing
like
the premiere of Fast and the Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. Yes, we are. It is this Thursday.
You bought me a ticket, right? Because I'm not going to go.
I did not. that. I couldn't because I didn't know if you guys wanted to go.
I said I would go if you're buying me a ticket.
Oh, I sent it to you already. Remember? Oh,
I got
to
look for it
again. Yeah, I already sold it on eBay.
Because there's no way I'm spending my own money on that movie.
You and Aliga, thanks, guys. You put it on me to get your tickets. You guys are dicks. Anyway,
I bought
you
my
got
own
one,
ticket.
And you got one. You and Aliga got one.
But you don't like good movies.
I'm going to be on Oahu. Can you buy me one on Oahu?
Yeah. What are you going to Oahu for, Todd?
Comic-Con Honolulu.
Comic-Con Honolulu.
He's lying. It's called FemNu.
What? What's FemNu?
That's the after-hours party.
It's a club where
that's
you
that,
see where
that's
you see
that place that's starting
off.
To do UFC fights outside. Didn't you see that video of BJ Penn trying to kickstart his career?
Yes, awesome. Ooh,
when he
sweet,
choked
awesome.
Out that civilian.
That's pretty sweet.
That was awesome, nice. Right?
That was pretty sweet.
I was
sweet.
There for the Triangle?
That's crazy.
I was there for New Year's once. Mm-hmm. There was two girls inside. The rest of them were outside lighting fireworks. It was awesome.
Well, how are they lighting fireworks, Gannon?
With their machines.
With lighters.
It's like, you ever seen Steve-O do
where
it?
Where were the fireworks?
Except
on the ground.
They do it the other way?
It's not jackass. They're not, you know, sticking them in their orifices and lighting sparklers.
Don't that's they want a tip?
You see, girls are adventurous like guys when it comes to that kind of thing.
You turn off the music and we add vagine talk, and now we have more viewers.
There's a recipe.
We should actually poll everybody watching. Do they enjoy all the crazily
we should.
Lame music? And
I mean, well, we do it for the fans, right?
Yeah,
not really.
We should just talk about vagines all day. Be the vagine watch.
God damn it.
Oh.
Please.
If we still had Nerd Watch Magnum, we'd be talking about superhero junk a lot more. That's all I'm saying.
It's good. Well,
like in The Boys, where that guy, where the girl fingers the guy's gills.
Stop it.
Okay, but.
I'm turning you off.
Okay, but. She totally does.
Okay.
She basically sticks her hands into his gills.
Yeah.
And spoiler
it's
alert.
Crazy hot.
Spoiler alert.
It's crazy
well,
hot.
It was hot except for it was not consensual.
Yeah. He didn't want that to happen, but she's like, well, this is going to happen.
Wow.
I liked it. Oh, it was good for me.
That's all right.
Was he like
it was
your,
disturbing.
Was he
it
like
was
your finger
you.
Smell
much,
funny?
Much like Bon Jovi, I was halfway
I
there.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing other people be finger yep. raped.
Gotcha.
I don't care if they're half fish or not. I don't like it.
Well, this Thursday, getting back on point here.
If I had gills like that, I'd let you guys stick your hands in there. I mean, when are you going to get that opportunity in real
stop
life?
It, stop it.
Next time we meet Kevin Costner.
Come on, let's
see those
it,
are folds, Francine. Those are folds
in there somewhere.
Just take it.
Hobbs and Shaw's this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Join us at the Regal Maui Mall Megaplex. We're going to be doing the premiere of Hobbs and Shaw. It's going to be quite an interesting program. I hope it's good. I hope it's a good movie.
Does it smell like tuna?
Hey, I just took a shower before I came out here. Shut your mouth.
You guys are sick people. All right, Hobbs and Shaw this Thursday, Regal Maui Mall Megaplex. Come and join us. By the way, for those of you that do not know, Regal has started their own subscription program for movie tickets. So for $21, you guys can watch unlimited movies, 10% off of the of concessions.
So this is like Movie Pass.
$21 a month, exclusively
movie
for
pass.
Regal.
Hey, movie corporate pass. Chill. Can you tell us more about this exclusive program?
I'll tell you more about this exclusive program if you tune
you
in.
You have
next
a
week.
Lot of very specific details.
I just found out about it yesterday.
Almost like
yesterday.
You were paid to mention this.
I was not.
Is Regal the one in Kihei or the one here in?
The Regal's the one in Kahului.
In Kahului. Yeah.
Okay, tell us about the one in Kihei.
That's Regency.
Yeah, that's Regency.
You can't talk about the Regency.
Nah, I don't want to.
Those guys give you free mints at the end of a movie.
Yeah,
because they know
fantastic.
Your breath is stank by the end of
it's
over.
It's because,
it's because I've been not licking my finger gills.
Oh my gosh, you guys are disgusting.
That's why they call me Gilmore.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, we are out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next week with a review of Hobbs and Shaw.
Where's the
so for Kev?
No, too late.
So for Captain Five Star, for Tom Bernardi, for Format. Gannon,
you
Francine,
can't even sit
and
down
Aliga.
Until the show's over. What's wrong with you?
I am G Money.
Like,
peace out.
What the
much
hell?
Love.
He's
and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And we'll be back right here next week. Only on the Nerd Watch. Aloha.
The Machine Watch.